as we're part of that world, and sometimes our lives are messed up. So how can we make a difference? It's a question that's posed out of the film that we're going to be looking at, and the film's called Pay It Forward. Just curious, how many of you have seen this film, Pay It Forward? Great, okay, some of you have, good. This is our final installment in our Big Picture series, and I hope you've enjoyed it. This film, Pay It Forward, centers around three characters, and you see them right on the movie poster. The first one is the teacher, Eugene Simonette. He's a teacher. He wants to help other people. The first thing, though, you notice about him is he's a burn victim. He's disfigured. And here's a guy that lives alone. He, by his own admission, has a familiar and manageable existence. But it's a sad existence. The next character we look at is Trevor McKinney, 12-year-old boy. And Trevor is starting up in year 7. He has an alcoholic mom, an absentee dad. He finds bottles of vodka hidden all over the house, and he takes them and empties them. He, too, is alone. At 12 years old, he's learned to look after himself. And actually, in many, many cases, the roles are reversed, and he's like the parent looking after his mom. He's grown up way too fast. The third character is Arlene McKinney. She works a couple lousy jobs. Her husband's run off. She's a struggling alcoholic. What do they all have in common? They're all damaged. They're all stuck. All three of them, none of them like their lives. They don't like the world in which they live. They just don't know how to move forward. They can't see how things could be different. Then this idea comes along. This idea that begins to have an impact on their lives. In this first clip, we're going to see Trevor as he's starting school, new kid, scary environment. He goes into his social studies class and meets his new teacher for the first time, Mr. Simonette. Let's see the clip.
But what if on that day you're free, you haven't prepared, you're not ready, and then you look around you and you don't like what the world is? What if the world is just a big disappointment?
We're screwed.
Unless you take the things that you don't like about this world and you flip them upside down right on their ass. Don't tell your parents I use that word. And you can start that today. This is your assignment. Extra credit. It goes on all year long. Now, wait a minute. What? What's wrong with this? What's the matter? Yes?
It's like so...
So what? There must be a word to finish that sentence. Someone help her?
Weird. Crazy.
Weird. Crazy.
Hard.
Bummer.
Bummer. Hard. How about possible? It's possible. The realm of possibility exists where? In each of you. Here. So you can do it. You can surprise us. It's up to you. Or you can just sit back and let it atrophy. Atrophy. If there is a word you hear that you don't understand, there's a dictionary at the front of the room. Look it up. And there are these dictionaries, which you will carry with you at all times, because in this class, we're going to learn to love words and their meanings. Any questions?
Yeah. So you'll, like, flunk us if we don't change the world.
Well, no, I wouldn't do that. But you might just squeak by with a C.
Would you like to tell me why my kid brought a bum into my house?
I have no idea. Mrs. McKinney, I don't know how your son interpreted the assignment.
How do you think he interpreted it?
Well, I don't know. My suggestion to you is if you want to know, why don't you go home and talk to your son?
Hey, I talked to him.
Really? Then why did you come all the way down here to ask me what the assignment is? It's not a state secret.
Yeah? And?
It's an assignment I give out at the beginning of every year to inspire. I don't expect them to actually change the world.
You don't expect them to change the
world? Excuse me. It's to get them to think, not walk on water. It's a very good
assignment.
You give
an assignment you don't think they can do? What kind of teacher are you?
I didn't say that, you know. They make attempts. Every now and then they clean up a little graffiti before they lose interest.
Hey, this is my kid. You don't know him. You tell him he can do something, he's going to believe you. And when he can't, it's going to wipe him out. They ought to fire your ass out of here right now.
Well, you know, they probably won't do that because I fill a very excellent quota. I'm just this side of parking in the blue zone.
I like this movie. One of the themes that comes out is this concept of it's possible. There's possibilities out there. And this film talks about the fact that ideas have impact. Mr. Simonet is a man who's places a lot of importance on words. Words, concepts, shape our lives, what we believe. He challenges them to think about changing the world. Hey, isn't that what we're about? Christ followers? Didn't Jesus say, go into all the world and preach the good news to all creation? Didn't Jesus say to his followers, you are the salt of the earth, you're the light of the world? Jesus had a big vision for us. Jesus thought things were possible. So how seriously do we take this? The interesting thing is that Mr. Simonet, he calls on his class to go out and change the world. But you know what? All these ideas lay dormant in his own life. He can't even get his own act together. His private world is a mess. That's the irony. Trevor gets this challenge and has a 12-year-old boy could have blown it off and he could have dismissed it, but actually he starts to take it seriously. And that involves even bringing a homeless man into his home. And things begin to change. And things begin to happen. Let's see the next scene.
What are you doing in my truck?
Let me show you. I'm just going to open the door, okay? See, might be easier for you to sell now that it works.
I didn't ask for your help.
No.
You've been living in my garage?
Well, not after tonight. Can I come around and just want to... I got a handyman job at the Royal Motel. They're giving me a room.
You stay right there.
Please, I don't like guns.
What is going on with you and my son?
He wanted to help somebody. Wanted to get somebody back on their feet, so he gave me a little money.
He gave you money?
Yes, ma'am.
That's his savings.
Well, it's clothes and shoes, and I got the job off it.
You think you can keep it? Looks to me like you've got yourself a little problem.
I can lick it.
How's that supposed to happen all of a sudden?
You ever been on the street?
My mom took us pretty close.
Well, you can't know. Not until you're looking at a dumpster. But when you climb into that thing for the first time, and you pull those newspapers over you, that's when you know that you've messed your life up. Somebody comes along like your son and gives me a leg up. I'll take it. Even from a kid, I'll take it. I can't mess up again or I'll be dead.
Look, I appreciate what you're trying to do, paying back Trevor.
I'm not allowed to pay back Trevor.
Then what is it you're doing?
I'm paying it forward. I know you want me to go. Yeah. I'll go.
What's paying it forward?
That's me. That's me. And that's three people. And I'm going to help them. But it has to be something really big. Something they can't do by themselves. So I'd do it for them. Then they do it for three other people. That's nine. And I do three more.
That's 27, so I'm not really good at math, but it gets big really fast, you know?
A 12-year-old boy is given an assignment to think of something that can change the world. He leaves that classroom and he gets on his bike and he starts driving around. They live in Vegas. He's riding that bike, perhaps in places he wouldn't normally go. He's now seeing things with fresh eyes, things that he might have overlooked. And he finds this homeless encampment. And there he meets Jerry, played by Jim Caviezel. And he invites him back. And he gives this man some hope that things could be different for him. He identifies three people that he wants to help. And he puts this concept around it where he says, look, it needs to be something hard. You got to do something for them, something that's going to cost. It's got to be big. And you're trying to do something to help people in a way that they can't help themselves. And they don't repay you, but they go out and find three other people, and they're going to pay it forward. And this is this concept that he begins to articulate. And the interesting thing is, have you ever thought about it? That is actually not a new concept. This morning, we held the wafer and we held the cup in our hand. And we gave thanks for what Jesus Christ did for us. It's something that we can't repay, and we're not asked to repay it. We're not asked to earn it. It's a gift. We receive it. But you know what Jesus does say? He says, take what I've given you. Take the grace. Take the love that's been poured out to you. And pass it on. Jesus actually came up with this concept. Don't repay me. Go out and love others. Go out and serve others. You know the interesting thing? Trevor gets on his bike and he's got to go out and find something. He's got to go look and find a place where he can make a difference. Let me tell you something amazing. Absolutely amazing. Do you realize that every time we gather, we're sitting here, there's children that are gathering in the school next door and the rooms around us. These children are brought here by families. Some come here on their own. And they're here and they're saying, teach me something about faith. Tell me something about God. Show me a better way to live. And guess what? We struggle to get enough workers to go in and teach our children. Why is that? We don't have to get on pikes and go looking around. They're right here on our doorstep. And you know what I'm told? It's the same people that put their hand up term after term after term. Is it because we sit here and say, I can't do it? It's possible, right? Is it because we say, well, let somebody else do it? Maybe you're saying, I don't even have any kids. A chance to make a difference. Right here, right in front of us. We've just started a new service. We need more workers. Won't some of you put your hand up and say, hey, I can do that. I'm going to pay it forward. Because really, the concept of why you would do this, it begins with this idea, and it's so simple. Has God been good to you? Have you experienced something of God's grace? Because if you can answer yes to that question, you're qualified. That's all you need to be able to ask. Have I experienced God's goodness? You say yes, then you can start. Trevor takes in this homeless man, gives him his life savings. You know the interesting thing? I know some of you here have struggled with substance abuse. In this film, it's not this utopian thing where Jerry just goes and all's better. He goes back to using. However, the compassion and the kindness that's been shown him is not in vain. Jerry has to leave town. He's too ashamed to face up to Trevor. And yet on the road, things begin to happen for him. Let's see the next scene.
Hey, lady, come on.
Go away.
I'm not going to hurt you, lady.
Oh, here, take it.
Well, it's a nice thought, but it's not what I want. Hey, what are you doing? I'm not going to hurt you. Hey. Oh, my God. Listen to me. Nothing's this important. Come on, come down here. What are you doing?
What do you care anyway?
Because I owe somebody a favor.
Not me.
Why not you? You know, a minute ago, all I could think about was getting my next fix. And then I saw you and I changed my thinking.
Oh, please. Go away. Trust me. I'm not worth it.
Why is that?
Oh, for God's sake.
Come on, tell me. Why are you not worth it?
You wouldn't understand.
Are you kidding me? You think I live at the Ritz? Have a cup of coffee with me.
What?
Do me a favor. Save my life.
What a great line. Do me a favor. Save my life. You know, it's interesting because we were discussing this last week. Tim talked about it. This is the words of Jesus where Jesus said, anyone who wishes to keep their life will lose it. Right? But he said, anyone who loses their life for my sake will find it. See, we have a world that tells us you've got to get for yourself, and if you can get all these things, then your life will be full. Get the right street address, the right home, the right furniture, the right job, the right title. You get all this stuff, and then your life will be full. It's actually as you give it away, as you give your life away, it's where you find abundance. Do me a favor. Save my life. Find someone to serve. Find someone to pour yourself into. There are three names on Trevor's pay it forward list. Jerry, the homeless guy. Adam, the kid at his school who gets bullied all the time. And Mr. Simonette, the lonely teacher. So Trevor comes up with this idea to matchmake Mr. Simonette with his mom, Arlene. And you know what? It's going all right for a while. It seems like it's working out. And then the good-looking but abusive husband returns. And Darlene believes that she needs to give him one more chance. And this is a scene where Eugene confronts Arlene about this. Let's see it.
There, Ricky never meant to hit me. We were drunk.
Oh, Christ! What is it with women like you? Is that something you really tell yourself? Oh, it's okay he beat me? Trevor's okay? Trevor has locked himself in a bathroom, and he can't breathe, and he's hoping and praying that it will stop.
Trevor never went through
that. How do you know what Trevor went through? How do you know? How do you know the next time after you, he doesn't come for Trevor? I know what I'm talking about, Arlene. My father got on his knees and begged my mother. And my mother, she always took him back. I never understood it. She'd cover the bruises and the cuts, and she'd take him back. Because he begged. And he cried. And now you ask me what happened after he came back.
No.
Now go on! You said you wanted to know what happened to me. Now ask me.
I don't like this.
Did he hurt you, Eugene? Ask me!
Did he hurt you?
Not for long. By 13, I was gone. I ran away. But I missed her. So I had to go back and see her. And so one night I did. Now ask me what happened that night. What happened that night you came back, Eugene?
What happened?
He was there, drunk as usual. Only this time I wasn't the same. I was 16 years old, and I was no longer afraid of him. And when I looked him in the eye and told him if he ever touched her again, I would kill him, he knew. He knew that he would never exist for me again. And I'm standing in front of the house. I'm telling her, I'm screaming for her to come out. I'm telling her she doesn't have to take it anymore. She really doesn't. She can come with me now. I don't even see it coming. He hits me in the side of the head with a 2x4, and I'm bleeding from my ear. And then he's dragging me. He's dragging me behind the house and into the garage. And then he's gone. A minute, 5 minutes, I don't know. And then he's back, and he's wetting me down. He's wetting me down, and I don't understand. I don't understand why water should smell so bad. I don't understand. Then I see it. I see this. This gas can. This red gas can from his truck. And he looks at me one last time. And he lights a match. And the last thing I remember
I'll never forget it. Were his eyes. His eyes, because they were filled with this immense satisfaction.
I'm so sorry.
Don't tell me how sorry you are for me! Just tell me how you're going to stop it happening to Trevor.
He would never do that.
Oh, Jesus, Arlene, he doesn't have to. All he has to do is not love it.
We began by realizing that we have these damaged individuals. You've been the victim of bad choices, and some of them are bad choices they themselves have made. It's interesting when we start to get to the end of this film, what it boils down to at the very heart of this film is this issue of forgiveness. The director herself said that was the theme of this film, forgiveness. I find that really interesting. That in this world where we're talking about paying it forward, doing something hard, doing something really difficult, giving people something that they need most in this world, and you know what it comes back to, and it comes back and it says, people need forgiveness. Think about that. Arlene needs to forgive her mother and all the abuse she suffered in that home. Trevor needs to forgive his mother for the choices that she's made. And now Mr. Simonette, he needs to forgive Arlene for going back to her husband and discarding him. What do people need most in this world? You're going to pay it forward. Do that really hard thing. It's amazing that this film comes back and the number one answer it gives is what people need is to hear the words, I forgive you. I forgive you. So let me ask you a question. Who in your life, who in your world longs to hear the words from your mouth, I forgive you? Let's see this final scene.
What are you doing here? Are you going to try to put me somewhere?
No.
Then what do you want?
I want to try to do something. All the things when I was a kid. The booze and the men. What happened to me when you weren't looking? I know we're all weak.
Not you.
No, I've been weak. Well, here's the thing. I forgive you. To see you sometimes, is that okay?
Yes.
You can't live with me?
No. Who would want to? Can I see him?
Not drunk. You gotta be sober even if it's just for 2 hours.
Yeah, I can do that.
Okay. Well, then I'll come and find you. Okay?
Yeah.
Okay.
Why'd you do this, Arlie? So, she told me why. She told me I had to do something big for 3 other people.
Okay, we're on. Hi, I'm Chris Chandler, and I'm joined today by a very unusual 7th grader, Trevor McKinney. Trevor, you must be pretty proud of yourself.
No.
So you're not proud at all?
I don't know, I guess.
Come on, you start a movement like Pay It Forward. You're not proud?
I guess, I mean, I got an A in social studies, but that was just for the effort. I mean, stuff I did, it didn't really work out.
You're here.
Yeah, but I don't know, I tried real hard, but nothing really happened. My mom's stuff worked. She talked to my grandma, kind of made up with her. It was really hard for her. It was great for me, because my grandma came to my birthday party, and I had really missed her. And that's why I paid forward in all those places. It was my mom. Because she was so brave. My stuff, I don't know, I think some people are too scared or something. I think things can be different. And, I mean, the world's not exactly. But I guess it's hard for some people who are so used to things the way they are, even if they're bad, to change. And they kind of give up. When they do, everybody kind of lose.
Spend another second of wasted air. Please don't let me stay trapped in here forever.
I won't. I don't want to spend another second with that.
People trapped in fear can't change. Afraid to change. Afraid to try something different. And their central characters find the courage and they save themselves by choosing to forgive. By choosing to forgive. I want to talk for a moment about where this movie gets it wrong and we as Christ followers get it right, and where the movie gets it right and we as Christ followers get it wrong. This film is calling people to forgive, right? But it's asking to do it out of a vacuum. Where do they find the strength? Where do they find the reserve? Where does that compassion actually come from? Many of them are so damaged, they have nothing to draw upon. So they're working this whole film. Guess what? This is fiction. It's this movie about this pay it forward movement, but that's never happened. Just happened in the mind of a writer. It could, but I don't think it ever will. It's asking people to draw upon something they don't have, premised on this flawed foundation. The director, Mimi Leader, she said in an interview, "Pay it forward is an act that requires faith in the goodness of humanity." Right? People are basically good. And if we can educate people, they can pull themselves up by their own bootstraps some way, somehow. In an article that I was reading, it said the most terrible violence of the 20th century was inflicted by officially atheistic regimes, such as the Soviet Union, Mao's China, North Korea, and those like Nazi Germany, which combined German paganism and racist theory into a new state religion. The bloodletting of the last century, the most secularized and enlightened, the most educated in all of human history, exceeded by far the bloodshed of any other century that preceded it. Moreover, it was not devout Muslims who have been developing and amassing weapons of mass destruction, but enlightened secular states. The idea that promoting secular democracies will automatically put an end to violent conflict and war flies in the face of history. Think we can just turn it all around? Pull ourselves up by our bootstraps? If we just educate people, the world will be different? History would suggest otherwise. These people in the film were called to do something extraordinary, but without assistance. John Wilson, John W., who started AA, out of it came the 12-step program. Step one, he recognized, step one, you do not have the capacity to help yourself. It's beyond your capability. Step two is a step of faith. You need to seek divine assistance. You need to look to someone greater than yourself. That was the foundation that was able to move this thing forward and see millions upon millions helped. Let me read a verse for you. Colossians chapter 3, verse 13. Here's what it says. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievance you may have against one another. And here's the kicker. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. You know, the only way we can forgive, the only way we can love, is because we know that God loved us first. We've been forgiven. And it's out of that filling, and it's out of that abundance, and it's out of that grace that now we have something we can pass on. We have something we can give because our lives have been filled. If you haven't experienced forgiveness, how do you find it within yourself to give it? But we forgive as the Lord has forgiven us. Right? Let me talk about this for a second, where we've gotten it wrong. The danger is that we sit here and we say we're Christians, we have faith, we've been forgiven, and our lives kind of end right there. it just kind of stops. Dallas Willard, the writer, someone I admire, he wrote it this way. He said, in most churches, we are not only saved by grace, we're paralyzed by grace. We're afraid to do anything that might be a work. People need to see that action is a receptacle for grace. It's not a substitute for grace. Grace is God acting in our lives to do things we can't do on our own. Grace is not opposed to effort. It is opposed to thinking that somehow we can earn it. And so we read these verses. So can I see our verse that was read earlier in the service? Ephesians 2, 8 and 9 says, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith. This is not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, so that no one can boast. You didn't earn it. You didn't earn it. It was given to you. You don't have to repay it. But sometimes we just stop right there. We just read this and we stop. Yes, I'm saved by grace. And we become paralyzed by it. Read the next verse. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Not only are we created for good works, that's the whole thing. We've been saved so that we can now do something. Look at what it says. Prepared in advance for you to do. There is something that God had in eternity past designed for each one of us. A calling, a task, an action, good works. Are you missing it? Is you paralyzed because you say, I'm forgiven. I don't have to do anything. This is where we get it wrong and the movie gets it right. Because the movie calls people to action. It says you can make a difference. We can make a difference because we've been forgiven. Because we've been recipients of God's grace. Grace should never be the thing that keeps us from moving forward. It should be the thing that propels us and tells us to go. And challenges us to make a difference. Let me see my next chart. The gospel. I have been saved. Forgiveness. And we also say, I will be saved. I'm going to be in heaven one day. And that's great. But you want to know something? The new life doesn't start when you die. It starts the minute Christ comes into your life. And we oftentimes forget that in the gospel, there's this third line, I am being saved. I'm called to be an imitator of Jesus Christ. To do the good works that God prepared in advance for you and me. What does following Jesus Christ look like for you? What does it look like for you? Last Sunday, over 100 of you said yes when the challenge was given to surrender to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, to give Jesus Christ control of your life. Over 100 of you said yes. I've actually got the names. I've got them right here. Praying for you all. What's that going to look like? How's your life going to be different? What are you going to do? And one of the things that we've designed here at SUBY Church is this sheet where we talk about being a wholehearted follower of Jesus. Because we believe that God calls us into action. He calls us to do good things that He's prepared in advance for us. Not to earn our salvation, but because we've been saved. Because we've been set free. Disciplines, like spending time with Christ. praying for friends and family, neighbors, colleagues, being a part of community in a small group, being a part of corporate worship here and serving, finding some place you can serve, something you can do, being accountable to someone. I read the Bible, that's what a follower of Jesus does. What are you doing? I love in that last scene where Mr. Simonette, he comes up to Arlene and he says, I don't want to be that guy. I don't want to be that person who can't change, who can't move forward, who just remains in their familiar, comfortable world. I don't want to be that guy. How about you? How about you? You going to be that person? Same routine. Or can the grace of Jesus Christ propel you forward to make a difference in this world? Would you pray with me? Father, I thank you. You've redeemed us. You've given us your Spirit. You filled us with grace and new life. Now we have something to give away. Now we have something in our life. We know something of your grace that we can pass on. We can pay it forward to others. Lord, it's because of your grace we can make a difference. Grant us the courage. Grant us the strength. Grant us the grace to be your followers, to be salt and light in a world that so desperately needs it. I pray that in Jesus' name. Amen.